All right, so Charles, I know you're a big fan of living as far away as possible from sharks, which is why you're living in the middle of the North American continent.
Exactly.
So, and I know also you're pretty unhappy with the way the country's going right now.
Yes.
Why not move to the moon? No sharks. It's nice and quiet. Pete Hegseth will probably never go there. Well, I can't promise you that one, I guess.
It would get you away from the news. That's definitely true.
I mean, right now they're ramping up the exploration of Mars. Of the moon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just completed. And again, we're actually taping this program full information. We're taping this program before the conclusion of the Artemis II mission. We're going to presume it ends well. I hope I'm right on that about that.
Hope so.
And it is fascinating. I question what our real motives are. It sounds like we want to go there and exploit the moon for every rare mineral it's worth.
I know that's, kind of what's been talked about, that we could mine the moon. There's all this talk about helium-3, which could be potentially used for cold fusion, which would then allow us to heat water with a nuclear reaction, a controlled nuclear reaction with no radioactive waste involved. First of all, the technology for helium-3 as a continuing cold fusion reaction is still wishful thinking.
Right.
I mean, I think they've been able to maintain it momentarily, but not, it for the long term. But the thing would be that, except for helium-3, which is supposedly widely abundant up there where it isn't on Earth, the cost, obviously, to bring anything back, I mean, forget the cost of getting everything up there to do a mining operation, you then have to bring all of it back. So it's not really economically feasible. It may never be economically feasible. I mean, I think there's a lot of other motivations. Yes, to some people, it's like everything else. If we don't do it first, the Chinese are going to do it, right? Like getting back to what we talked about in the first segment, AI. We have to let them go with no regulation because we'll slow them down and the Chinese will beat us to it.
Yeah. So much for that. I mean, an astrobiologist named David Grinspoon, he wrote in the New York Times, one of the lessons of Apollo in the early space age was the need to care for our planet and unite as one humanity. Yet look at the world today. It's so fragmented, fractious, and seemingly unable to marshal the global scale responses needed to solve our global scale problems. So yeah, I mean, it's here we are trying to beat the Chinese and the Russians or whoever back to the moon, or at least back around the moon.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've already won the first race to the moon, right? We got there first.
No, I thought that the monkey won. Sputnik. The monkey beat us.
The monkey beat us in orbit.
Okay.
It didn't beat us to the moon. No, but it's funny because, the 60s were a time very similar in many ways to now, where the country was very fractured.
Cold War, Vietnam War.
Right. Yeah. I mean, American cities in flames. And in point of fact, there were a number of events in the late 60s that did, perhaps only temporarily, tamp down the discord. And the moon landing was one of them. The other one was the Mets winning and the Detroit Tigers winning the World Series. But not the same, obviously not the same World Series, but
no.
There's an excellent documentary about the Tigers winning and how it influenced a city that was in flames. Really,
but you digress.
I digress.
Badly.
Correct. So, I think that the reason we are going back to the moon is probably the most important one, or the one that I think is brought up the most, let's say, is we can't go to Mars without learning how to live out in space. And living out in space closer than Mars. Mars shouldn't be the first
trip. So we can run home to Mama Earth if it gets really ugly?
Well, yeah, we have to find out what is it like, both health-wise and psychologically, to be living out in this, it's a void. I mean, you're...
And I would offer that we have no more business living on the moon or Mars than we...
The moon's just part of the Earth.
...than an elephant has living in Greenland. It's not... Greenland is not designed for elephants. Elephants have not adapted to live in Greenland, and we are not adapted to live on Mars or on the moon.
Don't you watch any science fiction?
as little as possible.
It's aspirational. I mean, of course not. I mean, you know, we have to protect ourselves out there in multiple ways.
From the Chinese?
Not from the Chinese. I think radiation and the need for oxygen
and sharks.
Food and water. Sharks. But it's a test of ingenuity. I can't say that I don't agree with the idea of aspiring to get off this planet. And the other thing is that
Say more about that. You think it's a good idea to aspire to leave the Earth?
Yes.
And go where?
To other planets, to other places.
Mars, yeah,
I think it would be good for humanity to have some humility.
I'd love to see us have some. Maybe we could practice humility down here before we try to impose our humility on some other planet.
Well, maybe I think that being out in the universe, I agree with you. Maybe if Americans would leave the United States and actually go somewhere else and live somewhere else, not like the United States, maybe
you mean
have
like,
better perspective.
You mean like Mexico?
No, Mexico's just a continuation
ways. Or Canada, which isn't even a real country, according to South Park.
No, I mean, I can see the aspiration to learn how to live in space. And I would support that.
I mean, but we haven't learned how to live here yet. I mean, again, back to what Grinspoon said about the early Apollo missions. That was what, 50, 60 years ago?
It was
the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, late 60s.
Years ago. And we, you know, and one of the stated goals of that was to show humanity how to live together, work together, get along. And we have failed miserably. And we've failed at learning how to take care of this planet. I have no, we want to go to the moon to exploit the resources?
No, I mean, it's not the only reason we're going up there. That's the least likely of the eventualities that will come to pass.
It's one of the reality, it's one of the reasons they're giving.
It's what's talked about. It sounds great, but I would say that's less likely.
Maybe we're going to also want to station nuclear weapons on the moon so we can better target them for, I don't know. I don't see any.
So you're going to fire a weapon that's going to take days to come here.
You've got to learn how. All right, yeah, there's that. Maybe we design them they're so fast they can get through the atmosphere in no time at all. But no, I mean, you learned how to ride a bike before you were allowed to drive. That was a good thing, right? We haven't even learned how to ride a bike here yet.
Yeah.
And we want to go to the moon. And we want to go to Mars. Let's learn how to get along on this planet with each other and with the planet itself.
Well, why can't you do both?
Because I don't think we're capable of getting along on Mars or the moon or anywhere else until we learn how to figure out how to get along here. It's just like Charles, I would not have trusted you with a car until I knew you could ride a bike.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with this. And I think that it's an opportunity to advance those sort of human capabilities. The other part of this is that... And I think something you should appreciate is that they can use it as a testing ground to see, do we put other planets and the life on other planets at risk by our presence? A lot of their experiments are going to involve, do we contaminate our environment in a certain way that would be dangerous?
Well, the answer to that is already yes. Just looking at Earth. I guess I feel pretty strongly about this. I don't see how any of this matters until we can figure out how to live here.
Yeah, I just can't agree with that.
Okay. That makes you wrong. I'm guessing more people listening agree with you than me.
Well, because it's something, I think that contemplating the beginnings of the universe, which is part of what this is about, is something that would be helpful to people. And, I don't want to get into the issue of the truth of the story in the Bible or anything else or in any other religious document.
If you want to ponder the origins of the universe, take a meditation.
There are physical things about the moon. First of all, the moon was blown out of the Earth by some sort of collision.
We apologize for that, okay? Sorry, moon.
Right. You know, but there are rocks on the moon that are of the age that we can't get to on the Earth. Billions of years old.
Why can't we get to them?
Because where are you going to, the Grand Canyon only goes down so deep, right?
Right.
Mines only go so deep. but these are rocks that will be even older than the ones we can get to, right? Because remember, the claim is that the Earth coalesced, what, 2-3 billion years ago? You know, from the gaseous state.
Can we use carbon dioxide to
to blow up big enough hole?
Yeah, to get those rocks?
From the ethanol.
Yeah, because that'll go over so well.
You know, and I mean, even the majesty of the moon is that it's captured by the gravity of the Earth. Where it is because of the gravitational influence of the Earth, right?
And in return, it has...
It stabilizes the wobbliness of our rotation and of the axis of the Earth. That is pretty amazing
and
stuff.
And creates really cool things called tides.
Right.
But this, I mean, I could admire, you know, I'll bet that these astronauts who are flying around the moon right now, they're going to get to see something pretty cool that I have never seen and will never see. But that doesn't mean that I can't appreciate the moon as much as they do.
No, I'm not saying you can't. But what I'm saying is that this really brings it out into the public forum. And, you know, it's about science. I think I don't have a problem with doing science.
I don't either. If science is done for the right reason, I don't know why we're heading to the moon when we haven't again figured out how to live here.
Well, science can't figure out how we're going to live here.
Politics could.
That's not science.
I know.
I mean, I know they call it political science,
well,
but it's not really
a misnomer.
Science.
I agree. Yeah.
No, but I mean, I think there are intellectual venues to be opened up by this, and it just brings it to the fore.
So where do you see it going? Okay,
they're going to want to figure out a way to set up some sort of settlement on the moon.
So McDonald's is going to have a restaurant there, and a Starbucks.
Someone's got a supply of food. I mean, you know, they'll have like, what is it, Tang and Dippin' Dots.
and cheap coffee. Yeah. So is Mars the next step after the moon, settling on
yes.
Mars? And then what?
Well, from there, I'm not sure how habitable. There may be some moons of like Jupiter and Saturn that might be habitable. And habitable generally means, you know, looking at it with mass spectrometry and everything else, that there's something that looks like water that would imply that we could potentially live on there or at least visit it or something. You know, I mean, we have certain needs that have to be supplied, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, most... predominantly oxygen and water.
Food helps too.
Food helps, absolutely. Yeah. But we can bring that with us. I mean, at least, you know, a certain amount with us. But otherwise, you have to grow potatoes on Mars, like in, you know, the movie.
Yeah, that was intriguing, actually. Yeah, so as a potato farmer, I was very intrigued by.
I was going to say, yeah.
Learning how to grow
they
potatoes
had,
on
they
Mars.
They should have had Matt Damon have an Irish accent.
They could have preserved, used the same accent that he had in Good Will Hunting.
South Boston.
Yeah.
I know.
Anyway, well, yeah. Again, we're taping this program.
Are you resenting the money spent on it? Is that what's bothering you?
Well, I think the money is a problem as well. We have so many problems here on Earth to fix, and we're not fixing them. And again,
and do you think money is the problem? That's why we're not fixing it.
It's one of the problems. It's one of the reasons.
Is it because of the amount, or because of the maldistribution of money?
It's that, but yeah,
which one?
Well, it's the maldistribution of it. We have plenty of money, but we have a 50%, nearly a 50% increase proposed for the defense budget.
Yeah.
While Trump is saying that, well, we can cut Medicaid and Medicare; those are states' problems. You know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have the wrong priorities. But the fact that we have politicians in place who are pushing these wrong priorities indicates we have plenty of work to do back home here before we start messing up the moon.
Well, as I said, I think you can do both at once.
All right. Well, optimist you.